Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kay Rhodes, and Maysoon Waswas, who you'll soon hear in a glorious interview. Just a reminder before we get to that, Southern Exposure has their auction today, probably, because I am finishing editing this on Friday night, almost midnight. I'm up too late. But point is, on the 23rd, Southern Exposure is having their auction. Get over there. If you want a discounted ticket, I have a discount code. Okay? So you can just email me, katerotes@gmail.com. Or you can just give all your money. Give all your money to Southern Exposure. Come on over. There may or may not be free bread. There'll be food that's not free. That's very good, I'm sure. There'll be artwork cheap for you to buy by prestigious local and international artists. So please get out there and support Southern Exposure, one of our little engines that can, over here in the Bay Area art scene. Give them what you got. Okay, and here's the interview. Out here in beautiful Oakland, California, talking to artist Lucchesa Branfman-Verissimo.
We should also say curator, educator, curator, performer, storyteller,
activist,
community organizer,
sign aficionado.
Thank you. Yes, I'm honored.
It's very funny to me that you have had a whole arc on this podcast,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've been on it now three times.
Yeah.
You were at the labor fair that Cassie Thornton did when we interviewed you with the headphones plugged into the microphone jack.
Yeah. That was the very early.
Do you remember that?
I do remember. I was eating cake, I think, while that was happening.
And you were still a student
then. You were still a student.
Yeah. At CCA, right?
Uh-huh.
In undergrad.
Yeah.
So you've had a meteoric rise in these last few years.
Tell us about your rise to stardom, Lucchesa.
Well,
how did that, what was your first opportunity out of school?
I don't know if it was like one show, but I think I kind of like when I was done with undergrad, I realized that art was the only thing that I ever wanted to do that made me feel like my best self, and kind of was just like, okay, I'm going to like figure out how to prioritize making art in any way I can. Right after school, I had like a show down in LA that was at this cafe gallery that I grew up going to. Grew up in LA. And it was like featuring a lot of the work that I made in my thesis show, and then kind of continuing it and figuring out its relationship to like my hometown of Los Angeles. I think that kind of just like gave me the okay, this is something people are like interested in seeing my work, and I'm interested in like putting in the work to like make it happen, and to continue these threads that I began in school. I feel like I just like kind of like figuring out like how to make the next thing happen. I think maybe just like, I was like, yeah, I like this. Hmm. This works. It's like a hustle, and it still is, but there's nothing else that I get as much like satisfaction out of. So kind of this like, I sometimes call it like, I feel like going to the studio or making art is like taking my vitamins. Like, it's the thing that keeps my system going. I feel like, yeah, lots of things have been coming up over the past 2018 was kind of a crazy and amazing year. And I think I'm just like, yeah, okay, this is what I love doing. Like, people being able to see it all over the country is exciting and new and scary.
I wanted to say that I feel like there was the moment after the election where you did the Take Care Of poster or a phrase or text like that, I feel like that really launched you into like a lot of people's minds. It sort of seemed like it went viral in so many ways.
Yeah.
Viral.
Kind of. I mean, at least for me, I was like, because I didn't know it was you initially. And I was like, oh, God, that's gone everywhere. That's amazing. That's someone I actually know made that. Uh-huh. I was like kind of amazed. But if you wouldn't mind, can I read it for people? I made a little tiny copy for me.
I love that.
So hashtag take care of Muslim, Black, women, queer, Latinx, Native, immigrant, POC, trans, disabled, LGBTQ+, low income, activist, refugee, undocumented, incarcerated, friends, family, and community. I think it's so, I love it so much. Mm, it's so sweet.
Thank you.
I did want to ask if, like, you know, that was a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we're still in the same administration and things are the same and also different. Like, there's still a lot of things going on. We've had an incredible sort of midterm election cycle. Uh-huh. And I wonder if you have, like, new sentiments on this or if there's people you would add to the list or probably not take off the list, really. But I don't know, just sort of like a reflection since this was, it's still obviously very relevant, but just wondering if there's like new thoughts around it also.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot recently just for like an upcoming collab that I can talk about later that relates to that project. But it feels like old work and it also feels like work that keeps like refiguring itself out. Like the version that you read from is like its second iteration.
So I think
the last three kind of targeted communities weren't on the original list and artist was on the original list because like in the moment it was like, wait, yeah, all of us targeted. Yeah. And then when I made like did an iteration or a limited edition series for Untitled, I was like, taken off that artist.
Yeah, does not feel like appropriate at the art fair.
Not okay. Like us artists, but not everyone. Not like the people that are shown at Untitled. They don't need to be necessarily cared for. So yeah, I mean, it's gone through different iterations, and I think it's also like that work, that list and the making of that piece has like affected my work in different ways that I didn't think it would be. I was kind of just like, this is kind of a separate project, like this putting out of this poster. It's not necessarily tied to every part of my studio practice, but it has made me look at like, okay, this is like something that I help produce and it's like out in the world. Like not only do I have to stand behind it because that's like what we have to do, but also just thinking about like how that list and how the like we must care for these people and prioritize and listen and read and love and care for those folks also like finds itself into the other work that I make.
Yeah,
there's I've gotten lots of suggestions over the years about like who should go on there, like why aren't all religions on there, why only Muslim folks, or like why aren't Jews on there? As like a Jew myself, I like stand pretty strong with not putting Jews on the list for so many reasons, but it still feels like a lot of people on that list need to be prioritized. And we've worked so hard that like yes, there has been changes made, and but it's still like more needs to happen.
I'm curious about, just around text in general, like your relationship to text and words, obviously it's really strong in your work. And I'm curious to know more about how you kind of got there as an artist. Do you consider yourself a writer also?
Probably not, because I'm like so intimidated by like all these incredible writers.
Yes.
People that really claim writing, and I'm like, oh, I'm nowhere like that. But I guess through like focusing in on text have really like been interested in the like thinking of text more as a form rather than like this like written document. Look at like storytelling or the like act of archiving, or I don't say a writer, but I do a lot of writing. I feel like I'm like, it's so impossible for me to like not go to my studio and write. Yeah, let's see. I started doing like experimenting with text work in I was on a residency a few years ago in Arizona in the summertime, and I was making these like large scale banner flags. Mm. It was the summer that Philandro Castile had been killed by the police, and it was just kind of like being in isolation and being at a residency and having all of these like traumatic events happen around me and kind of like not the community or like support to talk about it. I was, you know, of course wanted it to be like brought to attention and like discussed and be something that was honored and talked about, but also felt like it's always the like people of color that were like voicing those things, and was kind of like just in a moment of like panic and frustration, like I'm too tired of saying it out of my voice. I'm gonna have it come out of this like text form on the like form of a like flag banner. So that's where like I started playing around with text, and then have since kind of just like I think I like keep using it to figure out why it is that I need to use it. And it just feels like there's so much, I don't know, there's so much that needs to be said and so much that isn't being said and brought to the forefront. Yeah, yeah. It just feels like it holds so much, it feels for me like holds so much more power than like imagery.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the poster series you did for the SFAC bus stop, the Market Street bus stop series?
Yeah. So the series is called On Whose Shoulders, and it's a series of 9 posters that are primarily text pieces that tell the stories of 6 local community members that live in neighborhoods along the Market Street corridor. I think when I was given the opportunity to do that series, I was really thinking about the location, partially as someone who doesn't spend a lot of time on Market Street and has always kind of like avoided Market Street in a way. Mm. Like I just walk on it for like the half a block that I have to on my way to YBCA or something, or like it's not like a street that I am particularly drawn to and yet holds so much complicated power and history within the city of San Francisco. I immediately kind of called out to different people in different communities, thinking a lot about like the marginalized and untold stories and voices in that specific neighborhood, and got connected to organizations and artist groups and specific people and elders and storytellers in the neighborhood that would want to kind of be in this collaboration with me to make these posters. Yeah, each poster tells kind of a sliver of a story of someone who maybe lives in the Tenderloin or maybe lives in their car or lives in the neighborhood in different places. Is kind of this like brightly painted text form that really like honors their stories.
And the launch event was lovely because Lucchese invited most, I think, all of those artists or all of those collaborators out to stand in front of their poster and to talk about their story or how their collaboration came about. And then the poster was like read out loud, and that photograph was taken of them with their poster. It was like a really sweet event. There was food. It was great. There was one, the first person who spoke, Dr. Dream.
Yeah. She's this like elder, like trans elder in the TL, who lives in the TL. Yeah, like sketches. This like really incredible. Like, yeah.
She did amazing like outer space sound effects. I mean, it was like a full embodiment of a radio play in person. It was amazing. Like I was reminded of her. I was like, oh, I want to see if they're performing anywhere, because it was really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You have a ongoing, I want to say, interest, maybe obsession, maybe, with the color yellow. Is that true?
And blue?
Maybe.
Well, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
What up with that?
Wait, why do you say that, Kate?
Because you've done these, like, it's like bright as yellow. Is that right?
Oh, uh-huh. One of their projects, yeah.
And like you did a performance recently in that vein, right?
Yes, my nails are still colored from that. Yeah, I kind of obsession in the way of like it feels like it's just this like full embodiment of this character and this kind of series that I've been working on for the past year and a half. But essentially it kind of stemmed from just thinking again about like, I guess like this caretaking in so many ways, or this like prioritizing of like black and brown bodies in our lives, in many facets of our lives, and the kind of chose the color yellow as this kind of like symbol for this like bright future that is in so many ways like we are living in this bright future, and also yet it's hard to see, but this kind of future that like prioritizes like queer, trans, people of color, women, like so many folks that are, yes, on that take care of list, kind of to be at the forefront of our work and our lives. And a kind of character whose name is the storyteller of the future was created to help enact that bright future. And lots of kind of like her costume and her world is kind of seen through yellow as this like kind of cautionary color, this color that is, that stands out, that represents warmth and brightness, and is able to kind of shine light on so many of these communities that are struggling and not at the forefront of our work. Yeah, I feel like the more I use yellow, the more I'm able to like figure out how to embody this bright future, both in my work and in my life. I don't know, I've never really been a fan of yellow, but it felt right that that was like the color that was like everything was coded in order to like get us into the mindset of thinking about how we're gonna do that work to prioritize the folks that need to be right now.
It is a very complicated color.
Mm-hmm.
I heard once that, you know, how the colors at a lot of fast food places are yellow and red.
Yeah, because it like makes you think of food or something.
I think the red makes you, this is what I heard, the red makes you hungry and the yellow makes you slightly uncomfortable. So that you don't stay very long. But I wonder if it's that particular shade of yellow But then it's also like pollen and sunshine. Mm-hmm.
I'm just noticing all the yellow books on your bookshelf right now.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yellow has, it's, yeah. I feel like a lot of other colors have like a kind of more secure spot that they're like nestled in of being like peaceful, or this one's about like warning and alert, like red. But yellow doesn't have like a stable like identity.
Yeah, I know. It means so many different things to so many people.
So it's available to like state claim, it
seems.
Yeah,
maybe you're defining it.
Like, it's like, I'm going to take this. Yeah. We're going to redefine this.
We're going to figure out what it is.
It's kind of wishy-washy anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think because it means so many different things to so many people, it's kind of like this weird color that a lot of people have entry point into. Mm-hmm. And then I can be like, ha-ha, it's not about that. Let's make it a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. We're getting up.
So you also have a studio over there at Control Shift. You're a member of that collective.
I am.
It's a collective.
It is a collective. Right? Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going great. Yeah.
How long have you been there now?
I've been there for like 3 years.
Wow.
Seriously.
Which is crazy.
Wow. That flew by.
Yeah, I know.
That's got to be. So I'm also in a collective like co-op studio space. It's not always easy.
Well, that's for sure. A bunch of artists trying to figure out things, practical things.
Yeah.
That they don't know how to do.
What do you guys, what's your governing system?
Good one.
Is it all complete, non-hierarchical?
Yeah.
And you have meetings.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of is right now. And we're like in different ways trying to make it even more that way. I mean, right now we all have kind of like roles and shares into the collective that help it keep itself going. So that's kind of part of what it means to be a member of the collective, that it's like not only the place that we have our studio, but also we together as a group of 13 trying to figure out and trying to see how sustainable that can be. Like, I think that's like the dream, and also hard when none of us are paid to like keep a place like that going. And just thinking about like, if we want control shift to like last for the next 15 years, like what does that look like, or 5 or 2, or like when we're not like grant writers and we're not people that are good at asking big donors for money, but we're figuring it out. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like challenging, but also like this really sweet moment of everyone who has a studio there really has all of their hands on deck and really wants to make it be like the best place it can be. So,
yeah. What are some of the jobs, and do they rotate?
Yeah, hypothetically they rotate, although it kind of feels like people like get into their role and then they're like in the groove for a while. So kind of like every 6 months they rotate. I'm right now the like exhibitions kind of role.
Sweet.
Me and Jerome Panzer kind of leading that.
I love
which
that.
Feels really nice.
Are the applications now are closed, right, for people to mm-hmm. submit their curatorial mm-hmm. proposals. Has that been juried already?
It's in the process right now.
Do you need more jurors?
Oh.
If you ever need a juror for anything, I'm available.
Oh my gosh.
All I want to do is juror.
Oh my gosh. We kind of feel like we're like, nobody will want to sit on our
I love
panel.
It.
It should, we'll just, we'll love do it. It ourselves and be exhausted.
That's what we do here too for our residency at RTS.
But I mean, we should invite people in.
Might get a little swirl around.
Okay. Next time for sure. This is happening. Definitely with maybe you would like
I'm
to be
ready.
Part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so exhibitions, you know, I don't know.
Who takes the garbage
thing.
Out?
Ooh.
Well, is that a whoever?
That was like a
that's going to be everyone.
That was a conflict. At first we had like a studio cleanliness coordinator, but then that person
that's
was
where
like,
the personalities yeah. really come out, you know,
like,
everyone's
I just
all
have
cool.
to take out everyone's trash.
Also bathroom
fuck,
cleaning.
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now we just tack it on to our monthly meetings. At the end of our meetings, we take out the trash and clean together.
Oh, I love that.
Every month you do? Mm-hmm. Incredible.
I mean, unless like the garbage gets full, you make it full, then you take it out.
Right. But I mean, having a cleaning day once a month, that's incredible. And I say congratulations to you. Okay. Do you have advice for artists, for young artists, or young at heart artists? Young at hardest.
Mm. Aw, hardest.
Young I am hardest. A hardest.
Mm-hmm. You are.
I mean, you seem to, you just seem to have such a clarity of mind about that this was like, this is what I need to do to be alive.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like, personally, and just in general, I feel like not many artists have that mm-hmm. like singularity of
mm-hmm.
vision.
Mm-hmm.
How do you achieve that?
I mean, it can look so many different ways, but I feel like I just like would tell people to like somehow figure out like a space or like to carve out a space in your life, whether that be like physical space or time in your week or time in your day-to-day like practice of life, like to that thing, maybe art that you love doing, like really like make the effort to like show up for it, because I think that's really the thing that is like, okay, yeah, I love making art, but like I work 9 to 5 every day and like I don't have time for it. But like if you, I don't know, make space to like have dinner with your artist friends and like talk about things that are on your mind or talk about things that are in your practice or like show up for a friend's show or decide that you're gonna like sketch on BART instead of like look at your phone, or like I feel like these small gestures towards your practice or towards the thing that you love can kind of end up helping you like prioritize it in bigger ways. Yeah, I'm also like just a big fan of like having like a dedicated space for your practice. I think that was like a big game changer for me when I was able to like move my studio out of my home and like literally like pay money extra like do yeah. that crazy thing of being like, okay, I'm gonna like pay extra money outside of like my home rent to this like thing that I love doing.
That'll get you in there. Yeah. Once you've got some money mm-hmm. in the game. Yeah.
And also like a space that you can go and like make a mess in and not have to clean up.
Yeah.
And...
So a few years ago, Lucas and I happened to be at the Common Field conference together. Mm-hmm.
I remember this.
And at the time you were thinking about like moving in the future, like mm-hmm. in the near future, leaving the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you've just been blowing up here and I wanted to know where you are with that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Last year kind of like made me super distracted in a good way, like all these things that were pulling me away from the Bay and being like, oh yeah, the Bay doesn't have all those things to offer me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in many ways it doesn't. Also, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm like, I'm done with the Bay. Like I've been there for however many years and I'm like, and I think I'm like, re-loving the Bay now.
Yay!
Which is exciting. And also being like excited about what other places look like.
Yeah.
Because I think that's very real. It's like the Bay will forever be like my real home.
Mm-hmm.
And like this place that I became myself in, maybe. That sounds cheesy, but I'm also a little bit like itching to like find other places that make mm-hmm. me feel that way. Yeah, I don't know. For now, I'm like, I'm here. I love so many things in my community and so many people that are still here, and I want to soak that all up. And I think in the like 2-year goal, maybe trying to find other places and look at grad school, maybe.
You want to endorse anyone for the primary?
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
So damn, it's gonna be such a shit show. Definition of shit show is what it's gonna be. I mean, what if like somebody else gets out there after I say this? But probably not.
That's okay.
You can call in and you can amend.
I'm like pretty much a diehard Bernie person. So
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
I also endorse Bernie. Uh-huh. You too, may soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we're coming out. I mean, official endorsement. Yeah. We're gonna lose half our listeners. Congratulations, Pine Tree hereby endorses Bernie Sanders for the 2020 Democratic primary. People will just keep.
The only option.
Do we need to get him on the podcast?
People just keep having all these problems
with
him.
Can we be a media sponsor for him?
If I got the Powerball, I would give a little bit.
Okay, now the problem is, if we get the Powerball, an individual only can give $5,000 each. So, because he's not taking super PAC money.
Oh,
he's fucking Bernie Sanders.
Well, can we just give a reoccurring 27 donation?
I think we need to get lots of people where we'll give them money.
And they just
donate. And then they donate it. That's perfect. My plan.
Okay. That will be traced back to us. You know
I don't think it's illegal. I think we can just be like, here's money for you. Do what you want with it.
I'll buy you your building if you give Bernie $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Fair trade.
Okay. We always like to ask our interviewees at the end of an interview if there is anything else you would like listeners to know.
I'm currently in a show that's up at SoMarts, which is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. All like Black artists thinking about space and time. Catch the work on Market Street. It's up until the end of April. Yeah, we just had a new show open at Nook Gallery, which is a gallery that I run in my kitchen in my house, and that's open for a month.
Is that by appointment only, or do you have hours?
Right now it's by appointment. Yeah, so you can like DM us on Instagram or mm-hmm. email us. I recently had my first sushi burrito.
A sushi burrito.
Yeah, but it was like homemade version.
Did you make it?
Yeah.
Well
I
done.
Learned what it was while making it. So that was like been a highlight of my past few weeks.
Would you recommend that?
Definitely. Not going and buying one, but making your own kind of like just like extra thick sushi and calling it a sushi burrito.
We loved having you.
Third time's the charm.
So fun.
Yeah. Every
it's
other
the best
time.
Talking with other artists, honestly, it's like the only way it should be.
Oh,
like,
God.
I'm so done with cute. Like art.
Writers,
like
the press,
get the fuck out of here. It's artists talking to artists is the real the real thing.
I love that.
Cool.
Okay, very shout cool. out to all the art journalists out there. Go to hell. And Lucasa, Thank you so much. And as always, congratulations.
Okay, if you have any thoughts or questions, concerns, comments, dreams, wishes, you can send them to us at congratulationspinetree@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or give us a call, 419-351-6606. Okay, I think I've had a couple calls recently that might have accidentally been deleted. So if you made a call and you didn't hear us respond to it, give us another call. We're just a grassroots organization over here, guys. Pine roots. Okay, so from the bridge to the other bridge to the island in between, this has been Congratulations Pine Tree.